Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. When he finished, one of his disciples approached him and asked, "Teacher, would you teach us your way of prayer?" John taught his disciples his way of prayer, and we're hoping you'll do the same. Jesus answered,
"Here is how to pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be revered. May your kingdom come. May your will be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. Give us food we need for tomorrow, and forgive us for our wrongs, as we forgive those who wrong us. And lead us away from temptation, and save us from the evil one."
When he had finished, he added this illustration to teach them more about prayer.
Imagine that one of your friends comes over at midnight. He bangs on the door and shouts, "Friend, will you lend me 3 loaves of bread? A friend of mine just showed up unexpectedly from a journey, and I don't have anything to feed him." Tell me, would you shout from your bed, "I'm already in bed, and so are the kids. I already locked the door. I can't be bothered." No, you know as well as I do. Even if you didn't care that this fellow was your friend, if he keeps knocking long enough, you'll give up and give him whatever he needs, simply because of his brash persistence. So listen. Keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened for you. All who keep asking will receive. All who keep seeking will find. And doors will open to those who keep knocking. Some of you are fathers, so ask yourselves this. If your son comes up to you and asks for a fish for dinner, would you give him a snake instead? If your boy wants an egg to eat, will you give him a scorpion? Look, all of you are flawed in so many ways, yet in spite of your flaws, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to all who ask?
Well, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I planted my first ever flower bed this summer. This is a big step. I have never kept any plant alive before. I mean, there's a reason that there's a fake orchid in my office. But take a look at the picture of my periwinkles. Not bad, right? If you look closer, you might notice something about the flowers. This is something that I had never paid attention to until now. Do you see how they're leaning? Now, I sent a picture like this to my mom a few weeks ago when they were really leaning. And I said, you know, what's the deal? Do I need to stake these up or something? And she said, no. They are leaning toward the light. That's what helps them to thrive and be beautiful. Now, it strikes me that this is what prayer is. It's leaning toward the light. Wherever you are planted, you lean towards a light, and when you do, you become who you were made to be. You thrive. The flowers do this automatically. I guess you could say it's built into their operating system. They know that they need light, and so they lean toward it. The same is true for us. We have this built-in yearning, this built-in need for prayer, but we try and ignore it by busying ourselves with all kinds of other stuff. Or we go towards other things that are kind of like light and give us warmth for a little while. Or we have prayed in the past for something specific and we didn't get it, didn't turn out like we wanted it to, and so we're not sure what the point of prayer is or if it's even worth the time. And meanwhile, we're just kind of wandering through life and wondering why we are planted where we are right now in our lives. And if we're honest, we feel like we're withering away, unconnected, uncentered. And we so want to connect with something bigger than us. We want something to help us to see our purpose and priorities. And we have heard that prayer is a way to do this, but we just don't know what to do. And it would be so good to have some idea of how to connect with the divine. It would be so good to know how to pray. The disciples want the same thing. "Jesus, teach us to pray," they say. You see, this question of prayer has been going on for a long, long time. This response from Jesus is our first and most helpful guide to prayer. So let's get into it today, but I do have to warn you before we begin, if you lean into the light, you will be changed. You will be changed. That's the thing about prayer. It changes us. Like those flowers that end up bent and blooming big, prayer has the power to shape us, to mold our minds and our hearts so that we can really live. We see this in the Psalms. They are a book of prayers written for worship. And if we see the rest of the Bible as God's words to us, well, the Psalms are God's words for us. God has given us these words for us to pray. These are distinctively human utterances. One of my favorite Psalms is not a well-known Psalm. It's Psalm 6. The writer of the Psalm is having a hard time. He has all these bad things going on in his life, coming at him from left and right, and he can't sleep because he's thinking about them all. He is tossing and turning at night in his bed. He said that his soul is struck with terror. Can any of you relate to this? Have you ever had a hard time sleeping because your fears are just swirling through your mind? Anybody with me here? In the midst of the terror, the psalmist cries out, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long are you going to let me languish here?" Or here's my way of putting it. Where are you at, God? Where are you at? I'm exhausted and depressed and doomed, and it's so dark, and I don't know if I even believe, but I could sure use some help. When you get real in prayer, real honest, that's when you get real close to God. And that is exactly what happens to the psalmist. There is a turn. In the last few verses, he says, "The Lord has heard my cry. The Lord has accepted my prayer." And it ends with him convinced that everything is going to be all right. And the thing about it is nothing has changed about his circumstances. He's still got enemies and problems coming at him. What has changed is his attitude. He now has confidence that he will be able to face whatever comes, and he will get through it because he knows he's not alone. God knows his suffering, and God cares. That's what we experience in prayer. If we are willing to share the really real with God, God can handle it. Our anger, our disappointment, our drama. Yes, not only could God handle it, but God wants us to bring it. God wants us to be shameless in telling God what is going on and asking for what we need. That's what the story that Jesus tells the disciples is all about. It's about being shameless in our relationship with God. Suppose one of you has a friend, Jesus says, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "I need some bread. I have a guest who's just arrived and I have no bread for him." And the friend says, "Don't bother me. My kids are sleeping. I'm in bed. I'm not getting up to get you bread." And instead of saying, "Oh, sorry for bothering you," or walking away embarrassed, you keep knocking and knocking and knocking until your friend comes to the door. Now, the text says that this is a lesson in being persistent in prayer. And we can certainly see that, right? I mean, talk about not giving up. But the word persistent is really better translated as shameless. So the real invitation is to be shameless in prayer, to be willing to show up and be vulnerable, to be bold in asking for what you need. Because to do that, to ask for help, to express your deepest desires, is to acknowledge that you can't do this on your own and you need help. Yes, being shameless in prayer is seeing that you are dependent on God to get you through. You know that God is going to do just that, that God will give you what you need to make it through. It's like this story about my great-grandmother. We called her Granny. Granny was a tough woman. I mean, tough. Like, she had 12 kids back in a time when there was no such thing as an epidural. Or if there was medicine, she was too poor and too far out in the country to have access to it. And we think she had about half the kids at home by herself. And she pretty much raised all of them on her own. And then later, she helped care for grandkids and and great-grandkids, and so my aunts and mom were around her when they were growing up, and they remember that when Granny got frustrated or she started to lose her temper, she would stop what she was doing and say out loud, "Dear Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You got to help me now with these children, Lord. Help me." We love that story. It is so funny to think about her stopping and saying that prayer like that. But it was so sincere, and she was so dependent on Jesus to get her through the day. And Mom says that she usually, after she said that prayer, was a little bit nicer, a little bit more patient. We talk about being shameless in prayer. Everyone knew Granny was dependent on God because they saw her leaning on Jesus so often. She leaned toward the light, and it changed her. Her circumstances didn't change. She still had to deal with those rowdy kids, but she did so with a renewed connection with her Creator. That the Creator of the universe heard her cry and cared. And that sense of care will carry you far. It will carry you far. Because when you pray for help to come, you will start to see it come to you in all kinds of ways. Maybe not in the way you think or even hope for, but it does come. You may want a new season to start right now, but what you get instead is stamina to make it through your current situation. Prayer has the power to change your way of seeing. That is perhaps the greatest gift of the Lord's Prayer. It's meant to be prayed daily. Give us this day, it says. Jesus gives us this prayer to pray daily so that we can have a renewed way of seeing every day because God knows we need it. God knows we forget who we are and whose we are. God knows we need to lean into the light every day to remember and to refocus our lives on what matters the most. So of all the ways for the prayer to begin, it begins with the word our Father. Jesus doesn't teach us to pray my Father, lest we start thinking that we have some sort of exclusive access to God. No, Jesus begins with our to remind us that we are part of the big family of God. So the shift we make when we pray our Father is to move from me to we, from independence to interdependence. This is pretty radical. In a culture that encourages us to focus on ourselves and our needs first and above all, the fact that this prayer doesn't start with, "My Father, here are my needs," is significant. We're invited to see that we are part of the beloved family, and everybody is a brother or sister in Christ, and we are all connected and belong. Mother Teresa put it this way. When she was asked why there is no peace, she said, "Well, we have forgotten that we belong to each other." The Lord's Prayer begins with this reminder. Pray our Father and lean into the light. Lean into what it means to be a part of the family of God. I mentioned that we had the memorial service for Jim Howard yesterday, and I've had the privilege of getting to know the Howard family this past week, and I've learned that their daughter Cindy came to them when she was 13. And she's technically a niece. And Jim and Shirley welcomed Cindy into their home. And they weren't sure how their daughter, Sue, who was about Cindy's age, would adjust to having to share her room. But Sue welcomed Cindy with open arms. And they shared everything, including the same class schedule. And on the first day of school, the teacher was calling roll and saw the names and said, "Are you sisters?" And Sue remembers that they looked at each other across the room, and they smiled, and it just kind of clicked right then that they each had a new sister. And they said to the teacher at the same time, "Yes, yes, we are sisters." And that was it. And I have watched the whole family come together and care for one another. And you can see God's love so clearly in that, in how they love one another. This is the gift of our Father. Pray it every day, and you will see that you are part of the beloved community. You have brothers and sisters who bring such gifts to your life. And so you have a greater purpose than just you. You have the privilege of caring for each and every one because they're your family. You see, Jesus' promise is to reconcile us. It's his purpose, to reconcile us to one another and to God. And so, of course, the prayer that he teaches us begins by helping us to see ourselves and others as God's own and continues with the next step in reconciliation, which is forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do you see the flow of forgiveness? This forgiving flow that God is inviting us into, we receive forgiveness and we offer it to others. God knows those who don't seek forgiveness carry a heavy burden. We carry the hurt that we have caused, the mean words we have said, the failure to do the right thing. We can go through our whole lives carrying this weight of guilt with us everywhere. And we cannot thrive if we are carrying all of that around. We can't live as we were made to live, and God wants us to live fully. So God's solution to that is to lead us to seek forgiveness from God. God knows we can't get there on our own. And so we are led to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses," which helps us to stop and consider what trespasses we need to be forgiven for. It makes us aware of the pain and harm that we have caused. And in the same moment of our awareness and confession, we are set free. It's the most amazing thing. This weight is gone, released from us. But God knows that there is one more kind of burden we carry. We carry the weight of hurt that others have inflicted on us. If you have ever wondered how to not let bitterness and anger consume you and run your life, well, forgiveness is God's answer to that. Forgive us as we forgive others. Receiving God's mercy will change us. Offering it to others will change the world. The kingdom will come when the whole world is reconciled. And this needs to happen right now. It needs to happen today. I was with a family some years ago whose father died suddenly. And one of his sons said at the funeral, "I thought there would be time to ask Dad for forgiveness and come back together with him, but I was wrong." And then he went on to say, "Don't be like me. Don't regret not doing more to make things better." I share this to say that forgiveness is urgent. God knows it is work for today. So let God lead you to begin the conversation. Seek forgiveness, and sure, it may not turn out like you hoped, but you'll be better for it. You will lean toward the light. And when you do that, when you lean towards the light, and I lean toward the light, and every time we bend towards the divine, we blossom, and the world becomes more beautiful. And people see us. And they know that the light is a part of us and makes a big difference. So to pray this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, to pray it daily is to be a part of the light, is to become the light coming into the world. So I want to end with this poem by Kerry Newcomer. It's called "Lean In Toward the Light." And when I hold my hand up, I invite you to join with me in saying, "Lean in toward the light." Winter is the oldest season, but quietly beneath the snow, seeds are stretching out and reaching, faithful as the morning glow. Lean in toward the light. Carry nothing but what you must. Let it go. Shake off the dust. Lean in toward the light. Today is now. Tomorrow beckons. Keep practicing resurrection. Lean in toward the light. The shadows of this world will say, "There's no hope. Why try anyway?" But every kindness, large or slight, shifts the balance towards the light. Waters, wind, and open wide. Lean in toward the light. Don't just walk when you can fly. Lean in toward the light. When justice seems in short supply, let beauty be your truest guide. Lean in toward the light. The shadows of this world will say there's no hope. Why try anyway? But every kindness, large or slight, shifts the balance toward the light. Lean in toward the light. When forgiveness is hard to find, help me at least to be kind. Lean in toward the light. The prayer I pray at eventide. Lean in toward the light. Pray the prayer and lean in toward the light. So may it ever be. Amen.